What we are sharing this morning is very important, particularly for us as Christians in these last days. We are living in perilous times, Bible says. These are the days that the scripture tells us we need to awake and arise. Two things in Ephesians. Bible says, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Because the prince of darkness is covering the earth with more darkness. You and I don't need a prophet to tell us that these are perilous times. There's confusion everywhere because the devil knows his time is short. So he's waxing more and more ferocious in his evil plans to try and cause as much damage as possible before God takes him out of the way. The devil knows that there's going to come a time when an angel will come from heaven and take him and chain him down for 1,000 years. The devil knows the Bible. So he's trying to cause as much destruction as possible before the time comes. And we see all the signs all around us. And that is why you and I need to awake from spiritual slumber, arise from spiritual deadness, and maintain a state of spiritual alertness so that we don't fall into the trap of the enemy. Look at what Bible says here in 1 John chapter 4. It's a passage of scripture we all know very well, but let's look at it again from verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Now let's pause for a minute. Why would God put this in the Bible for us as Christians? When Bible tells us that we are his children, when Bible tells us we have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us, then what business do we have then trying to find out whether a spirit is of God or not? When we know that the spirit in us is of God. And this is why as Christians we have to reflect on the word of God and understand that because we are living in this world, we have things all around us. It's not about what is in us now. It's about what is all around us. Because on the inside of us, we carry the glory of God. The kingdom of God is within us. The Holy Spirit lives in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. We don't have the world in us. We have the kingdom of God in us. But we are living in a world that is not designed after the ways of God. The devil came and messed up the world and set up a system that is anti-God and anti-Christ. And so, as long as we are in this world, we have to contend with him because he's opposing us from the outside. There's opposition. Whether we want it or not, nobody likes opposition. But we are going to face it, isn't that so? Jesus faced it while he was here on earth. Every human being that ever walked on this earth faced opposition. You need to study the Bible. Read about all the patriarchs. It was not easy for them. Read about the prophets. It was not easy for them. They were people of God. But the devil opposed them so much. But thank God they kept the faith. And they are a good example for us to follow. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us so much about those people. How they kept the faith through all kinds of trials and difficulties because they were seeking to make it into that heavenly kingdom. They sought a city, Bible says, whose architect was God. They knew that they were sojourners here on earth and their focus was on God's own kingdom. Now, again, Bible says, beloved. So it's talking to the church, the people of Christ, beloved. Believe not every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. In other words, everything we hear, everything we perceive, you know, sometimes we perceive things in the spirit, sometimes we hear things, you see, because words that we hear have spirit in them. We have to understand that as Christians. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now, what happens to the word that the devil speaks? Well, it's also spirit, but death. That's the difference. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. John chapter 6 and verse 63. In other words, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit words because they have spirit in them. But the spirit in them will give you life. Then the devil speaks his own word too and has spirit in it. But the spirit of death, because the devil has come to kill, to steal, and to destroy. But Jesus came to give us life, you see. So his words will give you life. But the words of the devil will give you death. And that's why the Bible is saying to us, yeah, don't believe every spirit. For instance, maybe you come to church like you heard this morning, and I'm preaching. And you just say, well, the preacher is preaching, whatsoever he says is correct. Well, I can preach wrong words if you don't check for yourself. Then what I've given you is going to cause you death somehow. Because it's robbing you of the life of God. And you have come to waste your time. Because if you come to church and all I preach to you is just garbage, you might as well not bother coming to church. Go and sit somewhere where you can hear life. Because I'm wasting your time and I'm giving you something that will corrupt you, something that will cause you damage. And we have to understand that, particularly in these last days, it's not every preacher that we have to listen to. That's why the Bible says test to see whether they are of God. Because if something is not giving you life, that same thing at the same time is causing you death. There is no sitting on the fence. Something is either profiting you or that thing is robbing you. If something is not profiting you, then that thing is shortchanging you. So if you are not gaining on the side of God, you are losing on the side of the enemy. And we have to understand that. So when you hear a message, or you perceive, you know, sometimes you can say, well, I perceive the spirit is saying this to me. You better don't just act on what you even perceive yourself, because the devil can speak to you too. How many people knows that the devil speaks to everybody? Don't become too spiritual and think the devil doesn't speak to you. Did he not speak to Jesus? Are you more spiritual than Jesus? In Matthew chapter 4, the devil went to Jesus in the wilderness. After 40 days of fasting, he spoke to Jesus. Did this same devil not speak to Adam and Eve in the garden? So don't get too spiritual now. And so I'm spirit. I can't hear from the devil. No, he speaks to everybody. It will bring suggestions to your mind. It will try to get your attention. It will make you reason with your mind rather than reason with the mind of Christ. It will make you lean on your own human understanding and say, haven't you considered this? Like he said to Eve, have you not considered this? And then he succeeded in convincing Eve to believe a lie as the truth. And he tried the same thing on Jesus. Even quoted the Bible to Jesus. Well, jump now. It is written. I shall give my angels charge over you. But thank God, Jesus didn't just know the Bible in his head. He knew it by revelation in his heart. And he said, even though that's the word of God, that's not rightly divided. That's taken out of context. God didn't put that there for me to deliberately jump and try to prove a point. It's a different thing if I lose my footing and I'm falling, then God will give his angels charge over me. But if I deliberately go and jump, then I'm tempting the Lord my God. You see, we have to understand the word of God clearly in this last days. So we don't allow the devil to mess us up. So believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets, God didn't say few, many. Many. Well, if there are many false prophets, then how much true prophets do we have? Few. It's as simple as that, isn't that so? Many false, few true. Many false prophets are gone out into the world. Now look at verse 2. You see, God never tells us to do something without telling us how to get it done. So if anybody is confused amongst God's children, that person is confused because of ignorance. Not because God has not revealed the truth to us. It's because we have not spent time to find it out. If you seek, you shall find, you see. Bible says. Verse 2. Hereby know we, or know ye, the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And then verse 3. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. In other words, when John wrote this epistle, the Antichrist spirit was already operating in the world. And it's still operating today. It's just waiting for the time when the Holy Spirit will be taken out of the way, because the Bible says the one that is withheld in him, the spirit of Antichrist, from manifesting in a man now is the Holy Spirit. So when the Holy Spirit is taken out of the way, in other words, when the Holy Spirit has gone with the church, then this Antichrist spirit will enter into a man and set up his own rule here on earth to really cause as much suffering as possible within the short time that God allows him. But thank God you and I won't be here by then if we are faithful to Christ. Hallelujah. So, that is that same spirit of Antichrist that is already in the world, already operating now. Let's then turn quickly to John chapter 1. Because Bible tells us how we know the spirit of God and how we know the spirit of the devil. The spirit of God, Bible says here, is the one that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. And the spirit of the devil is the one that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. What does that mean? What does that mean? John chapter 1 gives us the answer very clearly. See, this is how you test the spirit, you see. Okay, this preacher has preached. Now let me test the spirit of the message. Is it of God or not? How do I test it? Oh, I hear in my spirit God saying this. Well, how do I know it is God saying it and not the devil disguising as an angel of light? Well, the answer is right there. God says the spirit has to testify and confess that Jesus is come in the flesh. What does that mean? Turn with me to John chapter 1. This is the way you find out for yourself. That's why nobody should fool anybody. Nobody should allow himself or herself to be deceived in these last days as Christians. We have to know the truth, as Jesus said, and allow the truth to make us free. John chapter 1, we all know this very well. And so let us just go to the verse because of time. Verse 14, let's read together. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Please underline your Bible. The Word was made flesh. The Word was made flesh. That's talking about Jesus being made flesh. Now, remember what we read in 1 John chapter 4, verses 2 and 3. How do you know the Spirit of God and the Spirit of the devil? Well, the Spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is of God. The one that confesses that Jesus has not come in the flesh is of the devil. So, in other words, the Spirit that lines up with the Word of God is the one that is of God. The Word was made flesh. The Word was made flesh. It's not just saying, you know, saying that somebody said Jesus. Even the devil says it too. The devil also uses King James. He quoted King James to Jesus, by the way. He said it is written. Isn't that so? So you have to test the word that you heard, whether it is exactly so, like the Berean Christians were doing. That's the way to find out whether the Spirit is of God or not. You check it by what is written in the Word of God, the Word that was made flesh and is written down for us, the Holy Scriptures. Don't let any prophet tell you that he's a prophet of God and is telling you something that is not in line with what the Word of God says. And he's telling you, just believe me, I heard from God. You're telling, get thee behind me, Satan. Like Jesus did. Get thee behind me, Satan. Turn with me quickly to Acts. So nobody should fool anybody in these last days. You just have to know the truth yourself. If you are waiting for somebody to be the one telling you the truth, somebody may fool you or deceive you or get you to believe a lie as the truth. But if you are searching the Bible for yourself, you'll be able to test to know whether what you've heard is the truth or not. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. But for the sake of context, I'll read from verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Beroea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Whether those things were so. How are they testing the Spirit? By searching the Bible to test what the preacher preached. They didn't just say, well, oh, that is a great preacher. Oh, that great preacher is so eloquent. Oh, I felt so good listening to him. Oh, I'm well inspired listening to him. Oh, I'm well motivated listening to him. They didn't pay attention to all that. They just searched the scriptures. Whether the preacher was eloquent or not, whether he could motivate them or not, that was secondary. What did he say? Is it exactly as it is? That's how you test the Spirit to know whether they are of God. Forget about the charisma. Forget about whether the preacher has gushy shoes or gold teeth. Because them can dress in gushy. Put on gold truth. Gold tooth. And then wear expensive. Very expensive suit to fool you. Meanwhile, the true preacher may just be in just one homemade suit that doesn't even cost much. But then you are looking at the wrong things. Instead of looking for the word, you are looking at, well, does he have a jet? Oh, that other preacher doesn't even have a bicycle. Well, look at this one, has many jets. God have mercy. Where did you find that in the Bible? It's the word. You should look for. Find out whether what you're saying is the word of God. You know, one of the reasons why the Pharisees rejected God and rejected Jesus was because he was born in a manger. How can the Son of God come in a manger of all places? He should have been born in a palace. See, that's their mentality. So they rejected. They're not even a carpenter's son. Huh? The Bible says they were offended at him. He says he's a prophet. How can he be a prophet? Is that not Joseph's son? Carpenter's son? Where did he get all that from? And he says he's a prophet. Forget about it. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? They were offended. That was how they missed God. They were looking at the wrong things. But those who are smart amongst them, they just listen to his word. They say, well, this man has words. He has the words of life. Forget about where he was born. Forget about his family background. Let's follow him for the word. And those ones were smart. It's about the word. So the church at Beroea, Paul said they were even more noble than the church at Thessalonica. And if you study the Bible about the church at Thessalonica, they were a very honorable church. Very good church. And for Paul to be commending Beroea just for this one thing, that tells us this is very important for us as Christians. Search the scriptures, find out whether it is so. Don't just listen to the preacher and say, well, the preacher said. No, no, no. Find out whether what the preacher said is exactly what God has said in his word. Because the devil knows his time is short. And he has come to try as much as possible and create confusion for many. And unfortunately, so many of us in the body of Christ are allowing him to get us into that mode that he has put the people of the world. It's time to wake up. Now let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 5. Get your pen and paper. I will highlight some points so you can go home and study it on your own also. Because we all have the responsibility to arm ourselves with the truth and resist the devil's attempt to get us into error. And the devil's attempt to hinder us in any area of life. You see, we are God's own people. We have the armor of God. We have the strength of God. We have the grace of God. We have the resources of God to walk in victory over the devil at all times. But if we don't use what God has given us, then the devil will prevail against us. You see? Imagine a soldier that is issued with a rifle. The commanding officer gave him rifle and told him, well, when you see a thief coming at you, just point that gun at him and shoot him down. Well, the soldier decides to take his gun. Say, well, what a beautiful piece of weapon. Oh, I love this rifle. Nice shape. Looks beautiful. Then he puts it on the ground. Just admiring it. And the thief turns up. The soldier is busy admiring the weapon. It's not shooting anything. How many people knows that not only will the thief steal everything the soldier is supposed to be guiding, he will even take the soldier himself and tie him. Tie his hands. Because the soldier is not using the weapon that the commanding officer gave him. God has given us what we need to walk in victory. But if we don't use it, then it is our fault. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. 1 Peter chapter 5. Oh, thank God, thank God, thank God. The truth makes us free. So we are to use the weapons of God, the truth that is in the world, to resist the adversary, the devil, because he's a liar and he is a deceiver. And he's the one and only one that you and I really need to stand our ground against, not against flesh and blood. You see, the devil is so smart. He leaves us, you know, to fight against one another, resist one another. Whereas the real enemy we all have is the devil. Not one another. Not one another. Your family is not your problem. Your next door neighbor is not your problem. Your friend is not your problem. Your colleague is not your problem. Your problem is the devil using all these people to be against you, you see. You have to understand that. And then you stand your ground, take up the shield of faith and the truth that is in the word of God and resist him. And then you find out that the victory that Jesus won for you is there, right there for you to experience in the situation. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. Let's go together. Be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Hallelujah. First, I want to draw your attention to one key word in verse 8. Because if we lose sight of that key word, we will not be diligent in doing what God says we should do. And that key word is the word because. Because tells us the reason why God says we should do what he says we should do. So it is not for the sake of God. It is not even for the sake of anyone else. It is for my own sake. Because if I don't heed the instruction of God, then I'm the one that will suffer for that. Again, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because. Be sober, be vigilant, because. So what happens if I'm not sober, if I'm not vigilant, then the adversary will gain the upper hand against me. Be sober. The word sober there literally means be in a state of alertness, is the opposite of the word drunken. To be sober is the opposite of the word drunken. You know how when people are really drunk, how they are, they don't really know what's happening around them. They can see you and look at you and say, I'm seeing two men there. And even think you are somebody else. Somebody who is really drunk. And call you, they'll call a different name. Just they are drunk. they are not alert. They are functioning, but their senses have been overtaken by the alcohol. So they don't really know what they are doing. If you see them the next day, I say, well, you know, I picked you up yesterday. You fell by the roadside. I say, not me. No. I was all day long in my house sleeping. You see, he didn't know. Because he was under the influence of alcohol. He was not sober. He was drunken. So now bring that into spiritual frame. That's what God is telling us. Be in a state of alertness whereby you are aware of everything around you. Don't get into slumber or stupor. And that means we have to spend time in the Word of God and in prayer daily. To be sober, you have to be in the Word of God and prayer every day, not occasionally. In fact, the little space you give to the devil is enough. Bible says, give him no place. So be sober. And then be vigilant. Hallelujah. Be vigilant. Again, it's talking about alertness. To be vigilant means to be aware and to be alert, to be in that state of having good awareness of everything around you. Because your adversary, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. So if you are not sober, if you are not vigilant, you will not be able to resist the devil, because in most cases you won't even know the devil is around. It takes your state of alertness to be able to discern when the devil is around. You understand what God is saying? Be sober, because. So if I'm not sober, if I'm not vigilant, the devil will come in. I'm not even aware the devil is there. You know, some of us will say, well, you know, I'm a very smart guy, you know. I know how to dine with the devil with a long spoon. And they think they are smart. No? Don't dine with the devil at all. Because if you try to dine with the devil with a long spoon, you won't know when he has traveled all the length of your spoon and it's already sitting on your lap. It's very cunning, very crafty. Bible says, flee all appearance of evil. Don't even entertain it. Just flee. Hallelujah. So we have to be sober, we have to be vigilant, so that we can stand our ground against the devil when he shows up, by being steadfast in the faith. And then verse 9 tells us one other thing that we need to pay attention to. You see, if we don't pay attention to this, we won't really know the hope of our calling as Christians, you see. It says there in the last part of verse 9, knowing. You see, we have to know this. If God says know something, you better know it well. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. In other words, it is not only you that is facing this opposition from the devil. Every brethren in Christ is facing the same thing. Then that immediately tells us as Christians, you are to be watching and praying for every saint of God. Because every one of God's children is going through exactly the same thing. And why is it so? Again, Bible tells us that it is so because the devil is making war against everyone that holds the testimony of Jesus. Turn with me quickly to Revelation chapter 12. And as I said, get your pen and paper. And I'll just jot down some points for you to take home and meditate in. And I believe God would give you even a clearer understanding of what we are sharing this morning. We need to learn to resist the real adversary that we have, which is the devil, not flesh and blood. Because very cunning, is very crafty. If we don't resist him, if we are resisting the wrong adversary, then the real one is still loose, you see. It's still loose. Verse 17, Revelation 12. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Well, do you have the testimony of Jesus Christ? Well, the devil is making war against you. Whether you are a person of peace or not, doesn't matter. You know how we used to say before we had better understanding of these things? You say, well, you know, I don't cause anybody trouble. So I don't expect anybody to cause me trouble. But then trouble comes. Then you wonder about her. I'm a peace-loving person. I don't cause anybody trouble. But then trouble comes your way. Well, the devil doesn't care whether you cause people trouble or not. It causes trouble for everybody. It's as simple as that. So you have to understand these things and know them and get yourself in a position to gain the victory that belongs to you in Christ Jesus. Because the devil is against you. Now, Ephesians chapter 6. So the devil, as we saw right there in Revelation chapter 12 that we just read, is the one that is making war against us. Is the one that we all have to contend with. In every area of our lives, he is the one that is opposing us, not flesh and blood, just as Ephesians chapter 6 teaches us again. It's not about flesh and blood. It's not, you know, a fellow human being that is your adversary, even though they may be against you. But you see, the reason why they are against you is because the devil is using them. And you have to be able to understand that. And instead of, you know, resisting the human being, you resist the devil that is operating through the human being. Because, you know, even naturally speaking, if I were to go to court right now, and then I accuse somebody that I believe is the person that has wronged me, and I bring that person before the judge, and I say, well, Your Honor, this person has wronged me. And then the judge will not just act on my word, will he? He will carry out an investigation. Isn't that so? Even the Bible teaches us the same thing. Don't go by the word of any one witness. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Because a witness can be wrong. He may be well-meaning, but he's wrong. Deceived by the devil. You know. So you have to bring before the judge the real enemy that has committed the wrong. That's the only way the judge will give you justice. So if I take the wrong person before the judge and I say, well, this is the person that has wronged me, and then they carry out the investigation and find out that that's not the person, I'm not going to get justice. And that's what we do many times as Christians, ignorantly. We are busy, you know, seeing fellow human being as our adversary instead of the devil. And so, all day long, we are resisting fellow human being instead of resisting the devil. And the real person we should resist is loose to continue to do his damage because we are resisting the wrong adversary. Imagine if the Church of Jesus will wake up today and we all begin to face the common enemy that we have. Because the Bible says all the brethren are going through the same affliction. If we all say, well, my brother, if you offend me, that's not the problem. I know that you are not against me. Somehow something must have gone wrong somewhere. And the enemy has gotten on the heart. So let's join hands together and pray and resist this enemy. Won't we defeat him? We'll defeat him. But I said, well, this brother, I've always been thinking about it, that you are against me. Even though when we come to church, you smile. I know the smile is not coming from your heart. See, it's the same devil now. It's got in because I'm thinking with the mind. How do I know your heart? Do I know your heart? How do I know that the smile was not from your heart? Yeah, Bible says no man knows the things of the heart of any other man or the spirit of another man. You see, because I'm not testing the spirit, whether it's of God, I'm just acting on my own intellect. Say, yeah, I've always thought so. Because the way he smiles is different from the smile of other people. So his smile is not coming from the heart. It's not genuine smile. So it's the real one that's against me. And Bible tells me flesh and blood is not the enemy. You see, I already got it wrong. The devil got me thinking the way he wants me to think so that he can get me into the wrong deeds. You see, he knows that as we think, so we are going to act anyway. All right. Ephesians, right there, chapter 6. Again, we all know this passage. I'll just read it quickly so that I give you the points and then we can close. Finally, my brethren, from verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. See, the Bible is very clear here. We are to put on the armor to resist the devil, not flesh and blood. We are not to put on the armor of God and be resisting one another as human beings. No. But that's what the devil has come to get us into. So you get into families, there is upheaval. Yeah, this one is against that person is against that person. And at the end of the day, we are just opposing one another instead of saying, oh, wait a minute. Our adversary is the devil, not one another. Don't let us fight one another. Let us face the common enemy and stand together and resist him. And he will flee from us. The same thing happens in the church. You find people forming different cliques in churches, particularly large churches. Well, you belong in this clique. We don't belong in that clique. You this, we don't do that. Well, we are of this group. You are of that group. And all kinds of division. Without realizing that it's the adversary, the devil, that has come in to cause this and turn us against one another. So, therefore, let's drop down to verse 18 and please write this down. Verse 18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You see it again? All saints. Because we are one family in Christ. It's talking about Christians. Okay? The devil is against us as Christians because we hold the testimony of Jesus. Please write this down. First, I want you to write this other scriptures and read them before I highlight the points. James chapter 4 verse 7. Their Bible says we should resist the devil and he will flee from us. When we resist him, we overcome. It's as simple as that. It doesn't stand any chance. It's only when we don't resist him and we are resisting the flesh and blood that the devil will still be loose. Also 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verses 3-6. The weapons of our warfare, they are not fleshly. Even though we are living in a natural world, our weapons are mighty through God for dealing with all the strongholds and activities of the devil. Please write this down. Our real adversary as Christians is the devil, not flesh and blood. So every Christian ought to know that. In front of that, please write the scriptures. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. And then, please write this after that. The devil is the one the Bible says we should resist. Using steadfast faith as our shield against him. And in front of that part of the statement, please write 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 9 and Ephesians chapter 6 verse 16. Again, the devil is the one the Bible says we should resist, using steadfast faith as our shield against him. So you begin to see that this does not include unbelievers because they have not the faith of Jesus. So this is talking about Christians. They don't have the faith of Jesus. They don't have any shield of faith to use against the devil. So it's about Christians now. So 1 Peter 5, 9 and Ephesians 6, 16. And then continue the statement by saying, for our protection. Again, the devil is the one the Bible says we should resist using steadfast faith as our shield against him. 1 Peter 5, 9, Ephesians 6, 16. For our protection. And the sword of the Spirit. Which is the word of God that the Holy Spirit quickens to us. So it's called Rhema. You see, many times we get into problem with that. We say, okay, I want to resist the devil. Then we take the Bible and we're trying to just quote scriptures all over the place. Paul said he was fighting not as someone that is just beating the air. Many times we just spray bullets all over the place and we don't really hit the target. A good soldier is trained to bring down the enemy with one shot. And we should be so spiritually. That's why we can't do this without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit knows the scripture. If we really read the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness, it is written. One scripture. Why? Because it was being led by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is bringing Rhema. That's the Rhema. The Rhema comes from the whole Bible, which is called Logos. The whole Bible in Greek is called Logos. Rhema is a portion of Logos which the Holy Spirit raises up as a standard for you to use in the hour of need. He knows the exact one that will eat the bull's eye. So that's what the Bible is saying here in Ephesians 6 verse 18. The word of God, the sword of the Spirit, is the Rhema word which the Holy Spirit quickens to you out of the Holy Scriptures, which you have been studying. He just brings that word to you in the hour of need. Because that is the one that will give you the victory in that situation. That's why Jesus told his disciples, even when you are brought before magistrates, don't think ahead of time what you are going to say. But in that same spirit, the Spirit of God will give you what to say. That's Rhema. And that's what will give you the victory. So don't just take the Bible and then be spraying bullets all over the place. I mean, why the devil is just laughing at you and saying this is one of them that is ignorant. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. So let's complete the statement. Again, I'll begin by saying the devil is the one the Bible says we should resist, using steadfast faith as our shield against him. 1 Peter 5, 9, Ephesians 6, 16 for our protection. And the sword of the Spirit, Rhema word, as our weapon of offense in persevering prayer. In other words, we take that Rhema and begin to pray and continue to pray until we get the victory. We have to persevere in prayer. And that's what Bible says there in Ephesians 6. So in front of that last part of the statement, right? Ephesians 6 verses 17 and 18 and Revelation chapter 12 verse 11. Where we then bring the blood of Jesus into it. As we begin to persevere in prayer with the Rhema word, then we remember the blood. The blood that brought our redemption. The blood that gave us victory over sin. And we begin to declare that also, Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. We are the blood-bought church. We are the redeemed of the Lord. Again, it's talking about Christians. Purchased by the blood. We are the family of God. You have no part in the lot of the righteous. We resist you in the name of Jesus. And then he will flee from us. Hallelujah. And in closing, one area that oftentimes, particularly amongst us as Christians, where we lower our guard and give place to the devil, let's turn quickly to Ephesians chapter 4, is the area of anger. is the area of anger. And in fact, the devil really, really uses that avenue so much in the church and in Christian communities, because it opens the door for him faster than anything else. It just gets you to be displeased with what somebody has done. And instead of looking at the larger picture of God's purpose, you are now thinking about self. That's why Jesus said the first thing for anyone that will follow him is that he must deny himself. Luke chapter 9. Verse 23, you must first deny yourself. Because if you don't, then the devil is going to walk through this gateway of anger and get a place and wreak havoc that we shouldn't allow him to wreak. Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll see why it is so. Ephesians chapter 4, let us look at verses 26 and 27. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Now notice two words are mentioned here. Angry, wrath. Angry, wrath. Angry, wrath. Again, look at it very closely. Be you hungry. So God didn't say, don't be hungry. Because you can't stop yourself from being angry. If somebody displeases you, you'll be angry, of course. Even God himself is angry against the wicked every day. But he still loves them, you see. He makes his rain to fall on them, even though he's angry with them. Why? Because God's anger does not progress to wrath. It starts with anger, which is the bait of the devil. And then when you take the bait, it will lead you on to wrath. We know the very first example of how it happened in the Bible. We know the story of Cain and Abel. The first thing was, Bible says Cain was angry with his brother because of jealousy. God accepted his brother's sacrifice and he's angry. And God warned him and told him, why are you angry? If you do the right thing, I'll accept you too. But he didn't deal with the anger. The anger led him to wrath, and the wrath made him kill his brother. You see the progression? You can be angry, but you have to deal with the anger and not let the anger lead you to wrath. Now write this down. The difference between anger and wrath is this. Anger is just your own expression of displeasure against someone or what they have done. Now wrath is a very strong, vengeful anger. In other words, the kind of anger that wants to make you revenge. Instead of overlooking it now, you say, no, I'm not going to overlook that. I have to show them. So that it has become wrath now. God says, don't avenge yourself, but you don't listen anymore. You want to just show them. You want to give them a piece of the action and make them feel what you are feeling. Then it has become wrath. And that is dangerous. It will make you to be an enemy of God yourself. So Ephesians anger, Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. Now let us go to James chapter 1 and see how God says wrath is something we should avoid. And let us pray. James chapter 1, you see, anger is okay. We all get angry. There is nobody who doesn't get angry. But you have to deal with it. Don't let the anger stay long. That's why it says don't let the sun go down on it. Because if you allow it to progress for long, it will lead to wrath. Because the devil will walk through the gateway of anger and get you to want to avenge yourself and maybe even think of killing the person, like he did with Cain. Just say, well, I'll just kill them. I'll get rid of them so they'll know they shouldn't be messing up with me anymore. Well, if you do that, then you are in trouble with God yourself. And that's how the devil gets many of us as Christians into a snare. Verses 19 and 20. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. So there is no excuse for wrath. God will never accept it. It is not righteous in his sight. To be righteous in the sight of God means this is what God says is right. It's not about your own right now. You know, we fight for our rights. But God says, no, my righteousness. Forget about your right. It's about my righteousness. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you this afternoon. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you, Lord, for stirring us up by your holy truth, helping us, O God, to understand the days we are living in and to know the adversary that we have as your people. You said we should resist him by being steadfast in the faith. And we thank you that we do so today, we do so every day of our lives, and we keep doing so until you come. By your grace, we stand our ground to resist the devil in all his maneuvers against every saint of God everywhere. You say we should put on the hammer, the whole hammer, and then we should watch with all supplication and prayer for all saints, and we should do it with all perseverance. We shouldn't do it and then give up. We should do it and keep doing it, knowing, O God, that victory is certain for us as your people. Before we leave this place today, we release our faith accordingly to resist every activity of the devil against the church of Jesus Christ everywhere today. Everywhere in all the face of the earth. Every saint of God. Satan, we declare that the blood of Jesus Christ is against you. We stand our ground as God's people. We take up our shield of faith in Jesus' name. We take up the sword of the Spirit in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that as it is written, in righteousness we shall be established. We shall be far from oppression, for we shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near us. You said no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises in judgment against us we shall condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and our righteousness is of you. We hold that word up as a sword of the Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ for the benefit of every saint of God everywhere. And we declare, Satan, all your weapons against God's people comes to nothing in Jesus' name. We are the victorious church of Jesus. We are the redeemed of the Lord, we say so. And so the blood of Jesus nullifies you, devil, and your principalities and powers and wicked spirits in all your maneuvers. In the name of Jesus, every weapon formed against the church of Jesus Christ will never prosper. In Jesus' name. For God is building his church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In Jesus' name. Let God arise. Let his enemies be scattered. In Jesus' name. Thank you, mighty God, for arising for your people everywhere to defeat every plan of the devil arrayed against your church in every place. In Jesus' name. And take all the glory, dear Lord. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever and evermore. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Now lift your hands to God and thank God that concerning you as an individual, every plan of the devil in all areas of your life comes to nothing. You have the victory in the name of Jesus. You have the victory on your job. You have the victory in your business. You have the victory in your career. You have the victory when you go out. You have the victory when you come in. You have the victory in your family. You have the victory in all endeavors of your life. In the name of Jesus, your testimony is a victorious testimony in all aspects of life. Because you are the child of God. And you are more than a conqueror through him who has loved you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.